from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
What do you think about this Astros game tonight?
I like the Royals for the series. I'll just go ahead and throw that out there now. Kind of makes me a buzzkill. In a short series, when you can only pitch Keuchel once, I have a hard time picking the Astros.
In these short series, you see it all the time. Anything can happen. Just got to get hot. Get a split here and then have Keuchel in game three. Then it's crazy. Texans and Colts, no Andrew Luck tonight. You've got a Matt Hasselbeck who allegedly was in the emergency room Tuesday night as your starting quarterback. I got to say, if this team does not win this game tonight, they're done.
This gives them a chance to win the division. If they can't win this with no Andrew Luck, they can't win the division. They're just not good enough. I don't think they're good enough anyway. If you can't beat the favorite,
yeah,
when they're missing their only good player,
then it's time to start looking at, okay, people should be fired here.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three. And I usually reset everything here, but because we're going to have a very short show tomorrow, we wanted to get on, make sure that you didn't get to miss out on R.J. Bell from pregame.com. So R.J. is joining us now. What is that?
Hey, guys, I got a question. So usually I'm on at 3:30 Vegas time, right? So 5:30 right. Your time. So now I'm coming in at the top of the hour, and I heard the disclaimer. It said you guys' views. It didn't say are not necessarily those. It says are not those. Does that mean that you're the opposite, that they believe the opposite of pretty much everything you said?
I don't know. Probably. That's probably what their lawyers would tell you.
Now, do all the hosts on Houston ESPN have that?
No, just our show. This is just our show.
Is that true, really?
That's true.
That's how you know you've made it, RJ.
I love it.
Is when
I
you have it. To have a disclaimer and tell the kids to, you know, watch out for the kids listening.
Don't be like us, kids.
I'm impressed.
Well, we're always impressed with your knowledge, and let's start with the game tonight. Man, what a line move. I'm looking at a site now where it's up to 5.5. So, and I know you always talk about how much a quarterback means, but and also talk a little bit about how some of that uncertainty was built into the line in the beginning.
Yeah, and that's a key point because really, if you look at the line move, Wednesday in the AM, it was pick 'em. Wednesday in the PM, it was 2.5. Then Thursday at 10:20 a.m. Eastern, so, you know, an hour and a half before lunch on the East Coast, it went to 3, and then a few minutes later, 3.5, then a few minutes later, 4. That's when the news broke, Shefty Schefter or whoever else might have been first there. It broke, boom, 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 got bet up. But notice that from the night or the day before, in the 24 hours leading up to it, it went from pick 'em all the way up until 2.5. So to me, it's a sign. I mean, why does this line move? Obviously, Luck was uncertain from you know, last Sunday when he missed. So once they opened this number up at Pick'em, that uncertainty was built into the line. What makes Houston go from Pick'em to a 2.5-point favorite before the announcement?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, it's info leaking,
yeah.
Or it's some type of news that wasn't obvious that was indicative to some big bettors. But I do find that fascinating. And then, as you said, from this morning, it's gone up to 5 at most places. But remember, Andrew Luck's worth about a touchdown, so that goes to show you, even though we have a 5-point move here, that the Colts would have been about a 2-point favorite. If Luck were 100%, and that original pick'em line assumed Andrew Luck had a percentage chance to miss the game, and if he played, he'd be less than 100%. That's why the line was adjusted already with the pick'em number.
Some of the stats that you have, there's obviously a lot involving Andrew Luck, but Indy's record, home road, division, do those still play when he's not in the lineup?
It's art, it's not science. On one hand, you could say, listen, these are trends. These aren't based on any player. They're based on team propensities. And thus, Luck being absent, if the line was the same, yeah, you wouldn't want to bet the Colts without Luck at Pick'em, but the line's not. So the theory is that the trends apply, but I think here's where the art comes in instead of science. The question is, how much of this is about Andrew Luck's personality as a player? Here's one I think it doesn't apply nearly as much. When the Colts are against a team with a losing record, 18-4 against the spread. But that is pretty much saying, listen, the Colts have been a winning team the last 3 years. They're laying a bigger number, and Andrew Luck likes to beat up on the lesser teams. That's driving that trend, and we've seen it. They blow out Jacksonville. They blow out Tennessee, and we see that. So I would say that trend, not as much. Now, Colts dominate a division opponent. 15 straight wins against division opponents straight up, 12-2-1 against the spread. That doesn't feel like it's about Andrew Luck. It feels like it's about the team. So I think that one's a little more applicable. And lastly, and there's a lot of trends on the Colts on Thursdays, 12-1 against the spread. Now, that's something that's going to be more coaching staff. And though Pagano's been there a while, that trend extends back past him. So that's one of the ones that's an eye popper, but probably not as applicable in any case. Because now, if you had a coach, let's say the Patriots were 12-1 on Thursday, that's something I would say, yes, that counts because you got Brady and Belichick for, you know, like 15 years or whatever. So for me, each of these trends, you start with the truth, the correct data, then you assess in each situation how applicable it is.
RJ Bell, pregame.com. Another game I'm real interested in. I'm not one that likes to give 8.5 points, but I sure like the Patriots going into Dallas. Tell me why that's a bad idea.
Well, one, laying a touchdown or more on the road is just a real challenge. I mean, in order to actually win long term with that, you've got to overcome a lot of public bias that's making your pick expensive. So why is it expensive? Because everyone wants the better team. And thus, it, you know, like anything else, when more people want it, it gets more expensive. I also think, though, if you look at New England, it's easy to say, yeah, Brady and Belichick, though, they tend to blow teams out. Look what they did against the Jags. But if you actually look at them as favorites over a touchdown, they have not won long term. So to me, I think that what makes it easy to say no is I never lay over a touchdown on the road, ever. Like, ever. Doesn't matter. Because by definition, there's going to be special circumstances. There's no way an NFL team is favored unless by over a touchdown on the road unless there's some combination of unusual circumstances. It might be, oh, how great the favorite is. It might be how horrible the dog is. It might be the dog has serious injury issues, like this situation. That's always the case. What other scenario? I mean, tell me a time a team is going to be laying over a touchdown when the team laying isn't amazingly good, the team getting the points isn't really, really bad, or something else. So to me, you can always talk yourself into these bets, and I think the trick is just say no.
One of the games that jumped out to me, and if I'm just Joe Blow running around the MGM and I stop and see the sports book and I'm looking for an easy win, I see Seattle getting 3 points against Cincinnati, and my Joe Blow brain instantly goes off, ding, ding, there's the free money. And me being a betting man says, if it looks that way, it's probably not that way. And to me, Cincinnati feels like a really good play this week.
Yeah, I agree. It feels trappish. What you all, you know, what is a trap game? Is by definition, a trap game is when the public looks at it and says, wow, that looks attractive, yum, yum. And then that's Vegas saying, hey, we're going to give you something that looks really good, right? You think Vegas wants that? They know they're going to be lopsided on that game, and they're comfortable with it. Doesn't mean you want to go the other way. It means you probably don't want to go on the trap side. By the way, if you don't mind, this show, what I enjoy about you guys, even though the authorities are, you know, maybe uncomfortable with some of it that you guys do, I love it, but is we can do a little deeper dive. But let me just tell you about road favorites over a touchdown. We just talked about that Patriots game. If you go back to 1989, so 25-plus years, they're 142-180, okay? That's 44%. Now, you've got, you know, over 300 games in that sample, over 25 years. To win, you've got to win 52.4% of the time. That's what the minus 110 is. That's the break-even point because you have to lay the vig or the juice. So, literally, you're saying that you not only have to make up the 5.9 percentage points, it's 44.1, to get to, if you just are flipping a coin, now you got to overcome the 2.4 additional because of the vig. And now, after that 8 or so points, now that's where your profit starts. I mean, the handicap has to be so sharp and so, or not even sharp isn't the right word. You got to have so many advantages that no one else is seeing in a game like this in order to overcome the premium on the road favorite. I mean, think about that. If I tell you there's something that the last 25 years has won 44% of the time, are you anxious to get involved?
No.
Just say no.
Well, on the flip side, what about the Bears plus +9 at Kansas City? I think, assuming Cutler plays, that seems like a pretty inviting number to me on the Bears end.
One of the advantages of taking a big underdog is the motivation of the favorites in question. Because on one hand, they don't care if they win by 7, typically 10 or 4. They just want to win. And number two, that lack of them being so clearly better because they're such a big favorite, like in this case, what does that do? You're a human being. I mean, we've all had situations like when people get a health scare, right? Is if someone, the doctor tells you, luckily this hasn't happened to me, but you know, a lot of people, it does. Doctor says, hey, listen, if you don't lose weight, you don't exercise, you don't quit smoking, whatever, you're going to have potential serious health problems. What does that guy typically do? First week, he's working out. He buys his, his new shoes and he's at the gym. Usually that's the case in week 5. Usually that's the case in week 10. But a year later, the guy's right back to where he was. Oh, yeah. You know, I quit that. An NFL player, you could say, should be focused. He's making millions, should be focused every week. When there's a 16-week season and more, if you make the playoffs, you're looking for times to give it 97% instead of 100. Because you're a human being, you've got to take a little bit less than max effort nonstop for 5 months or whatever, right? So when you're favored by 9, that's the time you go at 97 sometimes instead of 100. Unless there's a reason. That doesn't mean during the game they're not trying because they can get hurt. But I mean preparation, maybe a little less time looking at the film, whatever it is. Now, the time that you don't have that edge is where you have a really good team that wants to make a statement. So we saw that with Seattle 2 weeks ago against the Bears. They were big favorites, but they were 0-2. Their back was against the wall. They needed to make a statement, and they ended up winning that game big. Kansas City has lost 2 straight. To me, I don't want to play a dog, or at least I'm not anxious to, over a touchdown if the favorite is looking to make a statement. And my sense is KC's looking to make a statement here. Doesn't mean they're going to do it. Doesn't mean that you're not going to win with the dog. It just means you don't have that typical advantage of a little bit of lackadaisicalness from the favorite, I think, in this case.
That's RJ Bell, pregame.com. You could follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And real quickly, RJ, because we may have some different listeners since you're on a different day, tell them a little bit about the website because it's a terrific website.
Well, I appreciate it. It's a sports site, but we focus on the Vegas perspective. We're based out of Vegas. We know people love picks, so we literally give hundreds of free picks away. We've got multiple experts, radio shows, videos, all of it, and 95% of it is free.
All right, RJ. Always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you next week, sir.
Enjoy the game. Thanks, guys.
All right. You can enjoy all the games tonight. You can enjoy the Astros right here on ESPN 97.5 in about 15 minutes. About 20 minutes, technically. Anyway, we got one more segment left. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
It all keeps adding up. I think I'm cracking up. Am I just paranoid? Am I just stuck?
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. Playing the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday game and win $100. It's absolutely free to play. We're having happy hour at the New Christians Tailgate in downtown right now until 7. Top point scorer wins $100 and will be invited to play in the finals for a chance to win $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link at Christian's Tailgate from Raheel and the ESPN 97.5 Road Crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light. So I had some ideas for drinking games tonight, but I think if you actually did
it's a risky
them,
move.
You would be dead by halftime. For instance, take a shot every time you see a J.J. Watt commercial.
God, dead
by
dead.
Halftime.
Yeah,
right?
You're dead.
Take a shot every time an Astro strikes out.
You'd probably be dead.
By fifth inning, I would say.
Yeah.
Take a shot every time O'Brien drops an F-bomb.
On screen?
Well, that they show, that you can see.
You might make it. Yeah, I think they censor him.
Well, but
how about times the camera pans to Andrew Luck?
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Dead.
Well, if you're watching UH, times Greg Ward Jr. takes off running.
Oh, no one's watching that, Fred. Stop it.
I am. Dead. You're dead by halftime, too. I guess you need one that isn't going to kill you. That's kind of the problem with drinking games.
How about every rushing touchdown for the Texans?
Well, I want to have something to drink. Okay. I mean, the point of a drinking game is to drink, but not drink so much that you die.
How about every time, after every play that you bitch and complain about the Texans secondary, just a secondary?
Yeah.
I mean, you should be okay because Luck's not playing.
Right. I don't know.
Every time J.J. Watt gets double-teamed, halftime.
No, that's not quite as bad as J.J. Watt commercials, but that's pretty close.
Every mallet thrown first down?
Ooh.
Not enough?
That's interesting. You might get a couple drinks in that way. I was going to say maybe every time mallet bounces a ball at somebody's feet, but...
Dead by halftime.
How about every time mallet throws a fade? Just kidding. You'll never drink.
Yeah. No
that's
kidding.
That's for Raheel.
Well played, sir. All right. Time for your... Let's hear some predictions from you on tonight's two games.
You know what? We were talking about the... we were talking about... With RJ talking about, you know, you wouldn't want to take the Colts at a pick'em if Andrew Luck's not playing. But if I were a betting man... And now we're looking to make a play on this game, which, by the way, I'm not. The Colts are now like plus 220 to win the game. To me, that's pretty good value. You know, the Texans have not shown you anything this year that makes you think they're going to win more than they lose. You know, the one team they beat is Tampa, and I don't know that Tampa is better than the Colts even without Andrew Luck. I think they're probably similar. So I'd probably... I kind of lean to the Colts winning the game. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if the Texans won because I really do think it's a close call. But I think that's where the value is. I think the Astros on the road will continue to struggle when Dallas Keuchel doesn't pitch. So I'm negative Nancy. I do think Cougs win, though, Fred, for you.
Oh, I think so, too. More importantly, I think UH and SMU go over the 72.
Okay, that's important.
So,
but yeah, I think the Texans and the Astros lose tonight.
No, I think Texans win and Astros probably lose. I hope they win tonight because I don't like their chances tomorrow with Kazmir pitching. With McHugh's a better matchup. But
Kazmir pitching against Cueto, too.
Yeah, although Cueto has not been what they thought he was going to be when they got him.
But
either.
If you had to choose between Cueto or Kazmir, who would you take?
Right now, I would take Cueto, but it's not like he's someone you fear after the way he's pitched since they got him. I mean, but certainly Kazmir's not one that you.
That's a guy that you're excited to go against.
It's like, all right, thanks, man, awesome. Yeah.
No, I think if it'd be nice if the Astros could sneak one in tonight, and you know Cueto. I guess it doesn't matter about Cueto, but over the last four starts, he actually settled down quite a bit and finished the season pretty strong. Ventura's a wild card, though, man. I almost, if there was a prop bet, will there be benches cleared at some point in this series, I'd play yes.
Well, I know George Springer says he doesn't hold any ill will, but I guarantee you he'll slide hard into somebody.
For sure.
Yeah, there's...
If he gets on base?
If he gets on base, right. Texter says, love the RJ Bell segment, but I'm pretty sure he shot down each of your bets this week. I think he did, but you know what? I'm sticking by him.
That's all right.
He also shot down
the Falcons last week. Yeah. he loved the Texans last week.
Joshua says, take a shot every time AJ gets a new Twitter troll tonight.
Nobody's got time for
dead by halftime. Yeah.
Dead by halftime. But yeah, and don't even start drinking every time I block one, because I'm Mutombo these days, man.
But see, then you have to tweet out that you blocked them so we know to take a drink.
I wish there was like a finger wave emoji, like a one finger. Is there one long black finger, an emoji?
Yeah, there's a pointer up.
Can you get it with the black hand, or is that only the thumbs up with the black hand?
No. You can do almost every face or human emoji in different colors and races.
Okay.
Like the default is the yellow.
The yellow, like the Simpsons finger.
Or like the, you know, it's Asian.
No, it's a Simpsons finger. That's racist, Jong, if you
Jeez,
say it that
Jong,
way.
How dare you? How dare you, sir?
And then it goes. If you hold it down, it goes. I think it goes paler, and then it goes darker.
All right. So I just texted you guys the emoji, so you'll know. That's the Mutombo finger, the one finger. When you see that tweeted out, you know.
That's awesome. Friend of mine who works at the Kroger over in Montrose said Donatus Monte Yunus was in there shopping.
In Kroger?
Yeah. They got great beer there. It's a great. They have terrific beer selection in that store. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up. I want to thank Jong Lee. Great job as always. AJ Hoffman, great job as always. Got the Astros coming up next. You'll also have the Astros coming up tomorrow. AJ will be here with Matt Jackson for whatever is left afterwards. I will be long drunk by then. See you guys on Monday. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.